Welcome to today's special edition of Go Beyond with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, be sure to come and visit us. For more information about our ministry, please feel free to visit our website at www.judahministries.net. Here's Pastor Michael.
Amen. So this morning, we are going to speak about the power of Yes, Lord. The power of Yes, Lord. You know, the Bible tells us as preachers and teachers of the word that we are to edify and we are to exhort, but we are also to correct and we are also to rebuke. Well, there's not going to be a whole lot of correction or rebuking today, so everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Pastor's putting the paddle away today. So we're going to do some edifying and we're going to do some exhortation. So our scriptures comes out of Isaiah 6 and 8. I'm sure most of you are familiar with this. When Isaiah is before the Lord and he says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here am I, Lord. Send me. Listen, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is asking that same question to this generation. Whom shall we send? Who will go for us? The question is personally to you, will you answer, here am I, Lord, send me? So this morning we're talking about the power of saying yes, Lord. Come on, somebody say yes, Lord. We're talking about the power of obedience to the word of God. We're talking about the power of the being obedient to his voice and saying yes, Lord. So today I'm going to share some personal testimonies. I'm going to tie it in to the word of God. Now, about 12 years ago, I took my first trip to Malawi. Now, that's not my first trip to Africa, because we've been traveling to Africa for many years as a praise team. We began, I think, in 2006 or 2007. So international missions is a part of our DNA here at Judah Ministries International Worship Center, right? It didn't start when we came to this building. It started long before that. So it's a part of our DNA. So my first trip to Malawi, a friend of mine, Pastor Mlungisi Mishlope, most of you know him. He's been here a long time. And he invited me on a mission trip, and he said, hey, I'm going to Malawi. Would you like to go with me? Well, I didn't even know where Malawi was on the map, you know? But I said, yes, Lord, you know? I said, yes, Lord, I heard the voice of the Lord tugging at my heart to go on this trip. So it was going to be a three-nation trip. So we were going to begin in South Africa. We were going to spend 4 or 5 days there. And he took me into a place called Hillbro. Hillbro is like the capital of murders in South Africa, which Johannesburg is the major city. But Hillbro is like where all these murders take place. And he says, brother, I'm going to take you there to preach the word. And I said, yes, Lord. So I was obedient to God. And as a matter of fact, this coming fall, we're going back to that same area, not right into Hillbro. And we're going to be doing a soccer crusade right in the heart of Johannesburg, South Africa. So we went from there. It was 4 or 5 days in South Africa. Then we then flew into Zimbabwe and spent about 4 or 5 days in Harare. And then after ministering there, we were in churches and hospitals and we went all over the place. We then headed off to Malawi. So to go from Zimbabwe to Malawi, you cannot fly, because you'd have to fly all the way back to South Africa. It's a lot of money. So we took a bus. So if you know Pastor Mlungisi, he's a very adventurous soul. So we were staying at a place, and he figured out how we can get to the border of Zimbabwe and Mozambique, and we could hitch a ride on a bus. So we had to leave the house like at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We had to drive to the border of Mozambique. It was about 3 or 4 hours. So we get there, it's like 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, and all the buses are coming through immigration, because you have to go through immigration. So we're sitting there in the car, and I'm with the driver, and I'm sitting there waiting, and then all of a sudden, a knock on the window, and it's the border guard. So the border guard is speaking in their Zulu language. He speaks to the driver. He says, "Hey, who you got in the passenger seat there? You know, because I'm fairly conspicuous in Zimbabwe. Come on, do y'all get a witness there?" So the driver says, he goes, "Oh, that's a pastor from America." And the border guard says to him in their language, he said, "Ask the pastor how I can get saved." So I look at Joseph. I said, wait. Make him ask. I want to make sure this brother knows what he's asking about, right? So he said, "Ask the pastor how I could get saved." He said at the second, "Honey, you ain't never seen a white boy move so fast getting out of a car." I jumped out of that car, and I went, and we got a picture. I think we got a picture of Richard. Come on, Josh, you throw it up there. Here's Richard and I. Yeah. This is, you can see the buses lined up in the back, you know. So Richard and I, he came to me and we prayed through the translator. And I'm telling you, saints of God, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning out in no man's land. But God has divine appointments. Are you hearing me, somebody? If we would just be willing to say, "Yes, Lord," that's all. That's all. So I'm praying with Richard there, and he just starts profusely crying. He can't even stop. And in his broken English, he's saying, "I've been such a bad man. I've been such a bad man. But now I'm saved." And I'm telling you, out in the middle of nowhere, this brother gets saved. Come on, somebody give our God a great big praise. So We take the bus trip now. Pastor Malou, you know, he is speaking evangelistically to me. He said that this bus ride, it'll be a beautiful bus ride. They give you a little sandwich, they have something to drink and all this. Now, remember, we're hitching a ride. We don't even have tickets. So while I'm leading Richard to Christ, Pastor Malou is up, you know, negotiating with the driver of the bus if we could buy a couple passes and bribe him and get on the bus. So pretty soon he comes running back. Come on, we got tickets. He's going to get us on the bus. So we get on this bus. It's packed with people. Luggage, it's about 90 degrees. We have an 8-hour drive to Malawi, and there is no air conditioning in this bus. Man, listen, missions isn't glorious like some portray it to be. I always say it will challenge your convenience, right? So 8 hours we're on this bus, no water, nothing. So we finally get to the border. We meet Pastor Barbara in Malawi. This is in 2014. So this is our introduction into Malawi. So when we're in Malawi, we're going around, we're preaching everywhere, going to different churches and schools and so forth. So Pastor Barbara asks me one day, she says, "Listen, there's a little village called Chiputu. Would you like to go preach there?" I said, "Hey, listen, I didn't come here to play checkers, right? So let's go to Chiputu," right? I got a slide here. So we go out into Chiputu, and this is from the first service out there. And it was just under a little shelter. It was just under a little shelter, maybe 80 or 100 people. And I got there and just preached my heart out. And it's interesting preaching in areas like these villages, because while you're preaching, there's like chickens walking by you. You know, you hear the cows mooing and the little lambs walking by, bah, bah, you know. I don't know, there's like an amen corner there. And they're like, "Bah, keep on preaching, pastor, hallelujah." You know. So it's interesting. So anyhow, so I preach a message, and we have about, 20 or 30 people get saved in Chiputu. You know, there was a couple years later, they didn't have a church there. A couple of years later, they were baptizing just dozens and dozens and dozens of people, and the church began to grow. So the Lord had placed on my heart, I had been traveling back and forth to Malawi for quite some time now, and the Lord had put on my heart that we need to build a church in Chiputu. So I came to you, Judah Ministries, and as you always do, because you're the Macedonian givers, you gave and you gave and you gave, and we raised the money to buy the church and build a church in Malawi. Come on, somebody, thank God for that. So I'm saying that it's all about somebody saying, yes, Lord. That's it. That's talking about yes, Lord. We're talking about what God will do when we take just a little bit of faith. And once again, I said all that to say, when we take a little step of faith, we never know how God is going to use us. Come on, somebody. When we can just trust our little lunch into the hand of the master. If we're willing to let go of our little lunch and let God, he won't just feed us, but he'll feed 5,000 more. Come on, somebody. We have to be willing to let go and let God. Listen, saints of God, when we plant the seed of the word of God by faith, there is no limit to what God can do. But we're talking about planting the word of God by faith. Listen, nobody can calculate the number of souls that will be saved when we preach the word of God. Anybody can count the number of seeds in an apple. But there's not one person that can count how many apples are in just one seed. I'm talking about the power of the word of God. Are you hearing me, somebody in the house? I need my scripture up here. This is Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. This is what the Lord is saying through the prophet. He says, for my thoughts, they're not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For just as rain and snow fall from the heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and making it sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat. In other words, it's going to accomplish what God sent it to do. Here it is, verse 11. So my word, somebody say my word. That proceeds from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper where I send it. Come on, somebody give God a hand for his word. Now listen, the Lord doesn't usually speak in an audible voice from heaven. How many of you know that to be true? He uses you and me. How about that? Are you born again? Are you saved? Yes. Is the word of God within you? Yes. Jesus says, he says, if you come to me, I'll give you something to drink. I'll give you water that will never run dry. You shall have a belly filled with living water. So he uses you and I as his mouthpiece in this world. We have the seed of the word of God. It's in our mouth. We just need to be obedient to speak his word. We just need to say, yes, Lord, I'll be obedient. Come on, somebody say, yes, Lord. Now, all of this ministry that we have today, not only in Malawi, it was because one simple man said, yes, Lord, send me. Now, listen, I want to make this very clear here as I share testimony. This isn't to gloat on me or to say, look at me. No, 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 no. I'm like Paul saying, all my boasting is in the Lord. Because unless the Lord builds the house, come on, somebody. We're laboring in vain. So I want to encourage somebody. I want to encourage you to remain faithful in whatever God has called you to do. I want you to remain faithful and keep planting, keep speaking the word. If the Lord asks you to go, listen, honey, go. Somebody shout, go. If God asks you to pray, you pray. If he asks you to give, you give. If he asks you to preach, you preach. You need to say, yes, Lord. Are you hearing me, church? Now listen, saints of God, every time that we step out in faith, we rarely see the immediate victory. Do I get a witness in the house? Listen, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Many times when we plant our seed, there's going to be a little time. You know, that's like, how many of you know a farmer to go out and plant corn seed? If he walks out the next day and looks for his corn, he looks like a fool. Because there's got to be a season. So when we plant seed, don't expect immediate result. We're talking agriculturally here. That's how the Bible teaches a lot of its metaphors and analogies. So sometimes it's going to take weeks or months or sometimes even years. Listen, some of the seed that you're sowing, you will not even see the result because it's going to come in another generation. Talk to me, somebody in the house. But I want to encourage you, keep preaching. Keep sharing the word of God. It will not, that's his promise, return to him void, but it will accomplish what he sent it to do. Listen, the timing is not up to us. It's up to our God. Now, the principles in God's kingdom do not work like the principles in earthly kingdoms. In the kingdom of God, many of our actions bring the opposite results. They're known as dichotomies. We did a whole study about a year ago or so on kingdom dichotomies. Let me give you just a couple of examples. According to the kingdom of God, if you really want to live, you must die. According to the kingdom of God, if you want God's strength in your life, you must become weak. In God's kingdom, if you want to become the greatest, you must become the least. Come on, are you tracking with me? Somebody say amen. Amen. If you want to become victorious, you must be willing to surrender. That's a hard one there. How many of you know, though, Jesus was the ultimate example of surrendering to victory? Jesus Christ surrendered himself to the cross and became the most victorious person ever to live on the face of the earth. Come on, somebody. Listen, this is contrary to how the world thinks. So these dichotomies or these philosophies, if you will, may seem crazy or backwards to the world, but we as true believers, we don't live according to the world. Somebody say amen. We don't belong to this world. Jesus says that we're of another kingdom. Another dichotomy in the Bible is having the ability to see the unseen. It seems like a statement of contradiction, but we're talking about living according to another kingdom. Amen? Let me give you a couple scriptures for this, if you could throw that up there. Hebrews 11 and 1. Most of you people know this. It says, now faith is the assurance of what we hope for and the certainty of what we do not see. He's talking about our natural eyes. 2 Corinthians, next scripture. Here's a supporting verse. 2 Corinthians 4 and 18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what? On what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. Listen, this building is temporary. These musical instruments are temporary. Your husband or your wife are temporary. Come on, preach, Pastor. Everything that we see with our natural eyes, your own body is temporary. One day, my friend, unless you go up, you're going into the grave. Now, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm rather looking for the upper taker. Come on, is there anybody with me in here? For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So, Paul is encouraging us to see the unseen. So how can we fix our eyes on what is seen? How can we see with our natural eyes that which is invisible? The truth is we can't. We can't see it. We can only see it with our spiritual eyes. We can only see it by faith. We can only see it, listen, if we're born again. Remember John 3:3. Jesus says, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's why we see people walking around all the time, completely delusional, not understanding the difference between a man and a woman. Come on, preach, preacher. Because they don't see the kingdom of God. They're blinded. The God of this world has blinded their eyes, lest the power of the glorious gospel shine unto them and set them free and open their eyes. So the truth is we can't. It's by faith we see it. If we're born again, we see. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the mind or the thoughts of man what God has prepared for those who love him. But don't stop there. Read the next verse. It says, come on, Judah, what's my two favorite words? But but God has placed it into our spirit man. So we need to develop our spirit man, how to see things in the spiritual realm. So we need to develop our spiritual eyes. We need to have our eyes of faith. How many of you know that faith is like a muscle? The more you exercise it, the stronger it becomes. Furthermore, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. We are our faith walking, tongue talking, devil stomping people. If we are born again, if we're born again, we're living, all of us are living by some measure of faith. Let me prove that to you. If we're striving to live holy, is there anybody in here striving to live holy? Is there anybody in here striving to live righteously? Is there anybody here trying to love the hell out of your neighbor? Come on, somebody. And love the hell out of your enemy. How about that? Is there anybody in here trying to forgive everybody? Try to do unto others what they... Why do we do this? Here it is. Watch. Because we believe in spending an eternal destiny with our Heavenly Father whom we cannot see. Has anybody seen the Father? No. And we also plan on spending an eternal destiny in heaven, which we also cannot see. So we're all living by some measure of faith. But how many of you know the Bible teaches about different categories of faith? There's saving faith. There's little faith. How many of you know there's dead faith that cannot save you? There's people that have faith that is dead faith. There's saving faith, and there's also great faith. There's another thing called living faith or active faith. And listen, saints of God, here's where we need to apply some godly wisdom and some godly discernment, because sometimes the difference between faith and foolishness is a fine line. Here's a caveat for y'all. Over my years, I've witnessed many, many, many well-meaning saints of God step out on what they believe to be the voice of the Lord because it came from a word from a prophet. And they stepped out in faith only to realize it was a pile of foolishness. Come on, talk to me, somebody in the house. Whether it was a bad career move, a bad relationship, they got involved with a bad ministry. They thought they heard the voice of the Lord, but it was their own flesh. It was their own desire that led them there. It was never the voice of God. You know, people today, oh, trust your heart, follow your heart. No, that's not what your Bible teaches. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So hear me when I tell you today, do not follow your heart. Rather, follow the word. Come on, somebody. However, listen, if you love Jesus, any Jesus lovers in here? Come on, do you really love Jesus? Watch this now. This is good. Whether you step out in faith or if you step out in foolishness, there's a safety net. It's called Romans chapter 8. It says, all things, come on, somebody say all things. All things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Is there anybody thankful for that safety net today? Hallelujah. Because listen, saints of God, all of us, everybody has missed the voice of the Lord at times. Nobody, I don't care if they have prophet, prophetess in front of their name, they don't always hear the voice of God perfectly. However, if you clearly hear the voice of God and it overrides conventional wisdom or practicality, you say, yes, Lord, and you step out in faith. Saints of God, if Darla and I didn't step out in faith, this wouldn't even exist here today. This was a step of faith. Are you hearing me, somebody? We wouldn't be here when we launched this worship center. It didn't make sense to the natural mind. It certainly didn't make sense to our pocketbook. We had $50 US in our bank account. Talk to me, somebody. How many of you know $50 doesn't go very far? But we clearly heard the voice of the Lord. We were willing to say, yes, Lord. I remember one evening, a pastor friend of mine and I, we were walking through here, and he was supporting us and helping us kind of, make our way to get to church. And he and I were talking. He said, and we didn't have nobody. We weren't a church plant. We didn't have no financial backing. We were just a little praise and worship team. We were just crazy enough to say, yes, Lord. So we're walking through here one night. I remember Pastor, he goes to me, brother, he goes, man, this is a big place. We're going to have to sell a lot of chicken dinners to pay for this place. He said, are you sure? And I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing here, I looked right at him. I says, listen, my brother, if God put this place in our path and opened the door for us to get, who are we to say no? Come on, are you hearing me, somebody? But it was daunting. It was daunting. It's all a part of the walk of faith. You know, at that time, we didn't know how we were going to pay the mortgage. We didn't know how we were going to pay the electric bill. I just got fired from another church, thank Jesus. They gave me the left foot of fellowship, if you know what I mean. So now no income. We have a mortgage. How are we going to pay the electric? How are we going to pay the gas? How are we going to get the water bill? I can remember coming to the church during the week, and I don't know, maybe this never happened to you, but you find one of them little stickers on your door from the utility company. Anybody ever? Come on, do I got a witness in the house? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Listen, I can remember going home, getting on my knees and saying, Lord, please don't let the water be shut off before Saturday night before service. How embarrassing would that be? Are you hearing me, somebody? How humiliating. But my Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Come on, somebody in the house of the Lord. We serve a faithful God. Will you say, yes, Lord? Nobody here received any financial compensation for anything. Week after week after month after month for a couple of years, we struggled with just a few faithful people. I know most of you heard this, but when we first came here, our first winter was brutally cold. It never went above 20 degrees for about 2 weeks, and we didn't have ample heat here in the sanctuary. And when I was preaching, it looked like I was giving up smoke signals. You could see my breath. I could see the few congregants we had. They were in their coats and gloves and hats and tassel caps and mittens, and we could see each other. It was so, come on, you early birds. Y'all remember those days. It was cold, but we kept preaching the Bible. We've had pastors, prophets of doom and gloom, come walking through here and say, this is never going to make it. It's too big of a building. What are you doing? Pastors, listen. Be careful of the voices you surround yourself with. Be careful who you listen to. We'd have past gloom and doom. Come on, Judah, what's my two favorite words? But our God is in control. Jesus is still on the throne, and he's still Jehovah Jireh. Come on, somebody in the house. Throw my next slide up there, Josh, because in 5 years, we paid this building off. What you're looking at here is our mortgage. Ha! June 21st, 2015, we had a mortgage burning service. Now it remains in a little vial that sets on my curio back at home, and I look at it all the time because the two words on that vial are, but God. I'm talking about walking by faith. I'm talking about hearing the voice of the Lord. I'm talking about saying, yes, Lord, even when everything doesn't look right. And today, we have more than 40 churches worldwide under the Judah Ministries umbrella. I'm talking about a faith walk, and it all begins with a, yes, Lord. Listen, I know it doesn't look right. I know your finances might not seem right. I know the timing might not seem the right time. But if you clearly listen to me, somebody, if you clearly hear the voice of the Lord, please say, yes, Lord. Come on, somebody. Let me give you a couple of biblical examples of those who would say, yes, Lord. Our first example is Noah. He clearly heard the voice of God. He looked like a fool building a boat in the middle of a desert when it never even rained on the face of the earth yet. But he acted in faith. It didn't make sense to the natural mind. They mocked him and ridiculed him for 100 years. But Noah remained faithful. Noah remained diligent. He was seeing the unseen. He was walking by faith. Come on, somebody. Not by sight. And we know how that story ended. He and his family were saved because he was obedient to the voice of the Lord. We know Peter was in the boat. He said, Lord, is that you? Well, it's you, Lord. If it's you, bid me to come out. Come, Peter. What will you do? Will you step out of the boat? Will you say, yes, Lord? You know, we ridicule Peter for his mouth and a lot of his foolish ways. But he was the only one that got up and said, bid me to come out. We see Peter when they came in from fishing and their boats were tied up and it was after fishing time and they had caught nothing. And Jesus says, hey, cast your net on the other side of the boat. Peter was a schooled fisherman. He says, don't you know we toiled all night long? That's when the fish catching is good. That's when we fill our nets. And all night long we toiled, Lord, but we caught nothing. Here it is. Nevertheless, at your word, cast the net. I'm trying to encourage somebody today. If the Lord is speaking to you and it doesn't look right, it doesn't smell right, it's not the right timing to say, nevertheless, Lord, not your will be done. Not my will be done, but your will be done. His eyes are looking to and fro to somebody who would say, yes, Lord. We see Moses at the Red Sea. He goes to bail the Israelites out of hundreds of years of slavery. So what's the Lord do? He takes Moses and the Israelites to the worst possible place. Lord, why did you bring me here? There's mountains on the left. There's mountains on the right. There's an army charging in behind me. We're doomed. And there's a sea in front of us. God had him right where he wanted him. God, why would you send me to McKeesport? There's drug dealers on corners everywhere. There's prostitution everywhere. Why would you send us to McKeesport? But nevertheless, yes, Lord. We see Moses. He comes to the Red Sea. The Lord says, all right, Moses, now it's my turn. Stretch out your staff. He parted the seas. Moses and the Israelites marched through on dry ground. Could have you imagined that? Going through on dry ground. And as they came through, the Lord closed the sea on Pharaoh and his army. Listen, when you walk forward, keeping your eye fixed on Jesus, he's the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't keep looking behind for Pharaoh. God will take care of him. Come on, somebody in the house. God is calling you to another place. Even believers might ridicule you. Listen, we look like fools today preaching the return of Jesus. Because even in Christendom, oh, Jesus already came back in 70 AD. You know, these new preterists. I don't know if you follow that at all. No, Jesus hasn't come back. Because my Bible says when he returns, every eye will see him. So I'm preaching today. You might think it's foolishness, but Jesus is coming back again. Come on, somebody in the house of Judah. But church, this is the key. This is the caveat. Before we walk out in faith, before we jump out of the boat, make sure that you clearly hear the voice of the Lord. Make sure your heart is humble. Make sure that your motive is pure. Make sure that you're not about exalting your name. Help me, somebody. God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. Don't be misled by your emotions. Emotions are very, very, very deceptive, y'all. Don't be directed by a prophet. My Bible says that Jesus said it. He says, my sheep will know my voice. Are you a sheep of the Lord? Get to your closet. He will speak to you. Listen for that still, small voice. I teach you this all the time. Your phone, your electronic device, your television, they all have off buttons. Come on, somebody. Amen. Turn it off for an hour. It won't kill you. Facebook won't miss you for an hour. Snapchat, it'll be okay if you don't put everything up on there. They won't miss you. Listen, get alone with the Lord. When the Lord speaks to you, do you have the shalom? Do you have the peace that passes all understanding? Or are you struggling with some things inside? Listen, I could testify because I've not always heard God clearly. My testimony, in 1989, I moved to upstate New York, and I was in pursuit of financial wealth. I was born again. I was saved. I spoke in tongues. I followed Jesus. I was an ordained minister, but I was after financial wealth. I was in pursuit of financial wealth. I ended up spending 7 years in upstate New York. Now, I remember when I left there, I was already making six digits. This was back in 1989, so I was pursuing even more. How many of you know, no matter how much money you earn, it's never enough. If that's your goal, it will never satisfy you. Never satisfy you. So I pursued it for 7 years, and the Lord just beat the mess out of me, and I ended up homeless and on the verge of bankruptcy. I'm just telling you my testimony. Homeless in the ministry, chasing finances. Come on, Judah, what's my two favorite words? But God used that experience to beat the selfishness out of me. It was a Jonah-like experience when God was going to spit me out somewhere. I didn't know where, but I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I had to get to the point where, here am I, Lord. So I don't care where I got to go, but I know where I am now is not the right place. Listen. If you're here today and you're running from the voice of the Lord, let me tell you something. Stop. Stop running from the Lord. Say yes, Lord. He will bless you beyond your wildest imagination. Why? Because that's just who the God he is. When you receive an unction from the Holy Ghost, ask a trusted brother or a trusted sister about your vision or about what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. There's wisdom. There's discernment in the counsel of many. If it's a prophetic word, the Bible says, bring it to your elders in 1 Corinthians and 14. Let it be judged by the others. Don't just take every prophetic word that comes through YouTube. Talk to me, somebody. There's much more pathetic than prophetic out there. Much more. Because why? Jesus said there would be. He said in the last days, many false prophets are going to arise. That doesn't mean there aren't true prophets. That just says there's going to be a whole lot more false prophets. Be careful. Let the word of God guide you. Does it line up with the Bible? Oh, pastor, I want to marry this girl. She's beautiful. Is she saved? No, but. No, there's no buts. What does the word of God say about that? But her and I have so much in common. Do you know, pastor, both of our favorite colors is blue? They must be the one for me. Preach on, preacher. Does it be not equally yoked. It's simple. So don't go running with all this crazy nonsense. So when you hear something from the Word of God, look in your Bible. Seek counsel from godly brothers and sisters. Now listen, saints of God, many times when we launch out in faith, how many of you know sometimes we have victory or defeat before victory? When we obey the voice of the Lord, we'll go through some defeats. We'll go through some disappointments before we arrive at the promise. Listen, that does not mean you did not hear the voice of the Lord. That does not mean you did not hear the voice of the Lord. Obedience to God's voice is not always smooth and easy. It's not a bed of roses, as, and let me talk to you, some of you elderly in here. It's not Tiny Tim tiptoes through the tulips. Come on, now let me see who, we got some old heads in here to know that. We got a few of you. All right. But sometimes there's defeat before victory. I'm going to give you a couple of examples, then we're going to get out of here. In Judges 20, you can read this later. There's a civil war, the Benjamites against the Israelites. The Israelites went before God. They said, Lord, should we go to battle against the Benjamites? And the Lord says, go to battle. So they go out the next day and they go battle the Benjamites, and the Benjamites put a whooping on them, and they came back to the camp with their tail between their legs, and they were in sackcloth and ashes, and they were crying out to God. And they says, God, did we hear your voice? I thought we heard your voice, but we come back, we lost 22,000 men. They got before God and they prayed and they made offerings, and the Lord says, go out tomorrow against the Benjamites. So they go out. They're all excited. The Lord spoke. Surely we have victory tomorrow. They go out the following day. Once again, the Benjamites put a beat down on them. They come back in sackcloth and ashes and said, Lord, did we not hear your voice? We lost another 18,000 soldiers. Should we still continue to fight against the Benjamites? They gave up offerings and they prayed. They sought the prophet. And the Lord spoke again, go out a third time and battle the Benjamites. Thank God they said, yes, Lord, because they went the third time. And if you know the story, it was on the third time that the Lord gave the Israelites complete victory over the Benjamites. Come on, somebody in the house of the Lord. The Israelites lost between 40 and 50,000 men, battling men in these two battles. Here's the point. Sometimes the Lord needs to eliminate some people from your life before victory. Hey, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Sometimes God will move people out of your life. It's not a setback, honey. It's a setup. Sometimes less is more. Hey, ask Gideon. He had 32,000 soldiers. God whittled them down to 300. Now I'm ready to use you. Here's the reason why. Because our God will share his glory with no other. In other words, he would, every situation, every miracle in your Bible requires an impossible situation, so that our God would be glorified. If you're in an impossible situation right now, throw up your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Because it is him that is going to move on it. That you won't get the glory. That he will get all the glory in the house. Come on, somebody in the house of Judah. We see Moses and the Israelites in Exodus chapter 15. You can read that at your leisure. They go to battle against the Amalekites. When they go out and fight against the Amalekites, remember, the Israelites are just coming out of hundreds of years of slavery. It wasn't like they had trained infantry. They didn't even know what they were doing. But they run up against the Amalekites. Amalekite in the Hebrew means a valley dweller. They dwelled in the valley. How many of you know some people down in your valley always trying to pull you down? Come on, talk to me, somebody. So the Amalekites came out and attacked them, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up the mountain, but he told Joshua, he said, let's men, just get some fighting men and go down and fight the battle of the Amalekites. Go fight Amalek and all his hordes. And they go down there and they would battle. And as long as Moses was up on the mountain, the Bible says as long as his hands were raised, that Joshua was having the victory down in the valley. But then Moses would get tired and he would lower his hands. And as soon as he lowered his hands, Joshua began to lose against the Amalekites. So it was up, he was in victory. It was down, he was being defeated. I want to encourage somebody here this morning to remain in a posture of worship, and God will give you the victory. And listen, sometimes, listen, you need an Aaron and a Hur. Sometimes you need somebody to help you hold your hands. Oh, talk to me, church. God didn't call you to fight this battle by yourself. You need a prayer partner. You need somebody to encourage you. You need a church body that can stand around you and to pray with you and to fast with you and to get before God with you. And we know that God eventually gave Joshua the victory against Amalek and the Amalekites. He told Moses, he says, right here, I want you to build an altar, build stones as a remembrance, so that the generations to come might know where their victory lies. Here's my question. Are you building monuments in your house? Monuments of worship. Monuments of praise. Are your children seeing victory that you are engaging in? Are they seeing the victory through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to encourage you to remain in that posture of worship. God will bring the victory every single time. Come on, somebody in the house, give God a praise right in there somewhere. Lastly, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about David. David was a young man, but he was anointed to be the king of Israel. When Samuel came and Jesse said, here's my sons, he didn't bring out David because why? David was least likely. He wasn't the eldest. He wasn't the strongest. He wasn't the smartest. He wasn't the biggest. David wasn't the best looking. But how many of you know God doesn't look at the outer appearance? God looks at the heart of man. Listen, you might be the shortest. You might not be the brightest. You might not be the strongest. You might not be the best looking in your family. Ha! Huh. Come on, somebody say hallelujah in there somewhere. I know y'all think you're the best looking. I do. Listen, the point is, David heard the voice of the Lord through the prophet. David had to go out, and when Samuel prophesied over him, it was 15 years later until David became the king. It's known as the in-between time. The in-between time is the time between God's promise and the fulfillment of that promise. So David heard the voice of the Lord when the prophet Samuel spoke to him, but he went back out to his sheep. You know, some think that as soon as you're anointed, as soon as you're appointed, you're above the rest and that everyone should wait on you, huh? As soon as you're appointed and anointed, you deserve the best seat in the house. As soon as you're appointed and you're anointed and you preach your little trial sermon, you deserve a title or a collar or a special outfit. You need the 20-pound King James Bible with a big cross hanging around your neck. Oh, talk to me, somebody in the house of the Lord. I like crashing golden calves. Oh, y'all missed that one there. When David was anointed, the Bible says he returned to his day job. He went back out as shepherd. He didn't begin to, listen, this is the new thing, decree and declare that I'm the king of it. No, he didn't do that. Somebody say, preach on, Pastor. Listen, David still had to learn how to worship by himself in midnight all alone when he didn't have anybody. David had to learn how to create instruments. You know, David created instruments and then taught people how to play them. Why? So they could worship God. Because the Bible says, let everything breath. Let the cymbals, let the stringed instruments, let the horns. Because David invented many of these. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. He had to learn how to create instruments. He learned how to play these instruments. He had to learn how to songwrite in his alone time. That's where David received his anointing, my brothers and sisters. Come on, y'all remember the story when Saul was vexed by a Holy Spirit. They said, are there any skillful musicians? That's a term they use. It doesn't mean skill in the, you know, all your scales, but that you are able to discern. That's the word in the Hebrew language. Do you have any musicians? Do you have any worshipers that could discern into the spiritual realm? So when they brought David into Saul's presence, and David began to, I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. You are Jehovah Jireh. And he began to sing and worship. The Bible says that that spirit that vexed Saul got his high heel tops and he went running. Because of anointed worship. But David had to learn this out in the wilderness. Come on, talk to me, somebody. When David showed up in the battlefield, listen. That wasn't something that he just did, because it was a timing. David had to first learn how to fight lions and tigers and bears before he came to Goliath. He was preparing for years for this one moment. I'm here to tell somebody, God might have you in a place of preparation for this one moment when Goliath is going to stand in front of you. That's why David, when he showed up on the scene, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that comes against the armies of the living God? David prepared for years for this moment. And when he showed up on the battlefield, his own brothers ridiculed him. Listen, when you carry God's anointing, the unbelievers will ridicule you. Even sometimes believers will ridicule you when you're carrying God's anointing. You know, they took David. I love this. They took David and they said, okay, well, if you're going to go out there and you're going to fight this big giant, here, we're going to give you all this armor. And they put all this armor on David to go out. And David's like, man. Nah, man, this is something ain't right here. You see, sometimes when we bring, oh my God, when we bring people into the church and they're anointed and they're full of the Holy Ghost, we want to throw all our religious garb on them. Come on, somebody. Set David free. David said, no. You get all that religious garb off me. The Lord is on my side. He goes out there with one stone, he takes the giant down and then cuts his head off. Come on, somebody. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. They tried to weigh him down. He had to run for his life from Saul for years and hide out in caves before he was seated as the king of Israel. Some of you might be in that in-between time right now, the time between God's promise to you and the fulfillment of God's promise. Hear me when I tell you right here, don't miss this. If God made a promise, he will keep it. Our God is not a man that he should lie. His promises are firm and amen. So I want to encourage somebody today to hold on to on God's changing hand. If he spoke it, it will. Somebody say it will. It will come to pass. So I want to encourage you to remain faithful, remain committed, remain determined, remain persistent. Listen, quitting isn't an option. You remember when Jesus said, okay, Peter, everybody left me. Are you now going to leave? What'd Peter say? Where are we going, Lord? Who else has the words of life? Let me ask you, if everybody else leaves, where are you going? Are you sticking with Jesus? Are you sticking with Jesus here today? Who else has the words of life? Nobody but Jesus. Listen, if the devil's troubling you, What the devil means for evil, listen, the Lord will turn it around for your good. Why? There's no weapon formed against you that will prosper. Why? Because all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Why? Because listen, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, it's all a part of being chosen. It's all a part of being set apart. It's all a part of being called. It's all a part of being highly favored. So let me say this, whatever or whoever your adversary today, they were created for your promotion. Whoever your enemy is today, the Lord would say, I'm going to make them a footstool for you. Y'all know what a footstool is, right? A footstool, watch, a footstool is designed to take you to another level. The devil, God is about to make the devil your footstool. He's going to use the devil, he's going to use your enemy to take you up to another place. Because when you're elevated, you get above the fray. You get above the sight. You can see better from that place. God is taking us, watch this, from glory to glory, from victory to victory. Come on, somebody in the house of the Lord. Yeah, your enemy's been created for your growth. You need to welcome your Goliath. He's designed for your promotion. Thank God for the Pharaoh in your life. He's formed for your increase. You need a Nebuchadnezzar so you can develop an even if kind of faith. You need the Canaanites to teach you how to battle for your promised land. Psalm 23, David, the songwriter, his greatest hit. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He takes me by the waters. And I love this right here. It says, and He sets a table where? Before my enemies. Now, have you ever thought that through? What do you do at a table? You're about to eat your lunch. Your enemy is about to be your lunch. Come on, somebody. Because your enemy is designed as your sustenance. He's designed for your growth. Come on, somebody in the house. The Lord is my shepherd. He's going to put a table before my enemies. The Bible says that the kingdom of God suffereth violence. And it's the violent that take it by force. God is looking for someone who has some backbone. He's looking for somebody who's willing to stand in the face of adversity, and having done all to stand, you're willing to even stand some more. God is not looking for some weak-kneed, spineless, yellow-bellied Christian that cowers at every sight of adversity. Do you see your enemy? Get ready. Do you see your adversary? Get ready. Do you see those who despise you? Get ready. Why? Because it's time to step up. Another devil, another level. Come on, somebody. It's time to move into your new season, a new dimension, a new greater anointing, a greater appointing, a greater destiny. When you say, yes, Lord, come on, somebody say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Our God is a God of victory. Read the last page of this book. Let me just wrap it up right here. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are a faith-walking people. If we're making our best humanly effort to hear, hold on with the music first. If we're making our best humanly effort to hear and obey the voice of the Lord, listen, there is absolutely no failure in stepping out in faith. Why? We have a safety net. All things that work together for the good, that love God and are called according to His purpose. Listen, church, many times failure is just the opportunity to begin one more time more intelligently. When failure stops by your house, listen, He's a great teacher. How many of you know that to be true? We learn from our failures in life. A great entrepreneur once said, I'd rather have a manager that will make a decision and get it wrong than have a manager that won't make a decision. Because we learn from our failures. You grow in your failures. All of us, everybody. It's all a part of living our lives. Here, let me throw it to you here for a second. Have you ever prayed for the sick? Let me see your hand if you've ever prayed for the sick. Most of you, all of you. Here, has everyone got saved or everyone got healed that you prayed for? So do you stop praying? No, because we pray by faith. Just because we don't see instant results everywhere, we still continue to pray. All of these failures doesn't stop you from continuing to pray for the sick. We pray by faith in obedience to His word. Faith focuses on the eternal, not the temporary. We're talking about seeing the unseen, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. So I want to encourage somebody today, if the Lord has been speaking to you about something, pray, fast, seek godly counsel, and step out in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Give our God a praise in His house and stand on your feet.
To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation, every generation, to all creation, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go beyond. Go beyond.